Sometimes when you close your eyes and listen, you can see better. Thanks, Elijah. Seeing isn't all that simple. Sometimes we take a long, slow look, and we actually encounter the wonder of what our eyes are taking in, and when we do, it can be a glorious thing. Often, however, we glance at something or someone so quickly that we arrive at judgment without really seeing much at all. He's dangerous. She's rude. They're criminals. You fill in the blank. My own recent experience has been that sometimes people who are physically blind are more adept at truly seeing. About 2 weeks ago, I had the chance to spend time with Paul Rice at his apartment, along with Pastors Maria and Erica. As we talked together about a number of different things, Paul spent a few minutes describing to me the different ways that he gets to Calvary. When Carol and Rick pick him up, they usually go down North Capitol. When his niece drives him, she takes him down 9th Street. He used to ride the Dup bus, but he doesn't come that way too much anymore. His personal opinion is that 16th Street is best. As he described the different routes to one who was new to the city and desperately trying to learn her way around, I felt like my eyes were opened. He drew a map for me that made sense. I understood where we were in relation to the church. I understood where the church was in relation to other things in the city. Though I didn't want to monopolize our conversation with directions, in truth, I wanted to let Paul draw a map of the entire city with his words and deep understanding, because in just a few minutes of listening, I knew it would make more sense to me than all of the maps I had seen. And just to be fair to myself, I love maps. I love knowing where I am. I love knowing which direction is north. And I'm generally pretty oriented when it comes to directions. But this was a new seeing that I couldn't arrive at on my own. As we continue our Lenten journeys today, we consider our seeing, our framing of the world, and on a much deeper level, our understanding. In the gospel reading, we zoom in on Jesus, his disciples, and a man who was born blind. Jesus doesn't waste any time on the healing. He makes mud from the dust and his spit and puts it on the blind man's eyes, telling him to go wash in the pool. The man does exactly what Jesus says, and when he comes back, he can see. Incredible. What a miracle. There is so much to celebrate. A man born blind can see. And his testimony is simple but profound. So much so that we sing it over and over again in the hymn Amazing Grace. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Was blind, but now I see. This is beautiful, powerful stuff. But this story is a prickly one, too, and it's loaded with questions that feel like fences and daggers. Hopefully you experienced this a bit during the gospel reading. I wanted you to hear the questions in Spanish and English so you would feel their interruption, their thorniness, their boundaries. Let's listen again to the questions as the story unfolds. We start with the disciples. Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? As we follow the questions through the story, they don't get a lot better. They feel more like the bars of prison cells rather than openings to new understandings. Isn't he the beggar? Isn't he the one we've seen over and over again, sitting on the street with his hand out? How are your eyes opened? Where is he? the one who opened your eyes. The Pharisees soon join in, and they too want to maintain the established boundaries with their questions. This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. How can a sinner perform such signs? What do you say about him? And the Pharisees don't like or trust the answer that the man gives, so they pose the same questions to his parents. And the barrage continues. Is this your son who was born blind? How then does he see? The parents are scared of this line of questioning, and knowing their purposes, they point the Pharisees back to their son, thanks a lot, and ask him a second time, we know this man is a sinner. What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Whew. These questions are painful and exhausting. We're told as children that there's no such thing as a bad question, but after hearing these, I'm not so sure. These don't even actually sound like questions seeking answers. These questions are meant to interrogate, to bring charges, to trap, to maintain boundaries, and to reinscribe a worldview that is fixed and unchanging. The truth is, we're not strangers to questions like these, especially in the church. Can women be ministers? Are the scriptures inerrant? Is homosexuality a sin? Can LGBTQ persons be leaders in a church? Shouldn't men be the head of a household? Shouldn't whites and blacks be separated? Doesn't the Bible say it's okay to own slaves? Why shouldn't the empire require all people to be Christians? Even the question, do you believe in Jesus, can be used to rank, invalidate, manipulate, and control. These questions of interrogation, of suspicious scrutiny, box us in and close us off from the transforming work of the gospel. When we seek to justify our already fixed beliefs with our supposed questions, the truth is we're really not asking questions at all. Just because there's a question mark at the end of the sentence or a lift in our voice doesn't mean it's an actual question. Seeing requires more than a glance or a question of interrogation. True seeing requires encounter, looking, listening, relating, knowing one another, sitting at the table together. If we follow Jesus around, he keeps asking questions that turn assumptions on their head. They press us beyond the boxes and bars and walls that we've constructed to put people in, and they open up new vistas about who is the beloved of God and what the kingdom of God looks like. Jesus asks, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world but yet forfeits his soul? Who are my mother and my brothers? Our friend and colleague in ministry, Cody Sanders, wrote a book entitled Queer Lessons for Churches on the Straight and Narrow. And a key foundation of his book is how the framing of our questions matters. Cody invites us to ask questions of compassionate curiosity rather than ones of suspicious scrutiny. For example, instead of asking, is it okay to be gay and is it okay to be gay here, we might ask, what can we learn from LGBTQ people? In some ways, sexuality is not the best example here at Calvary, as together you and now we have been welcoming and affirming queer persons for many years. We are the evidence and beneficiaries of this good work. But even still, as we seek to press towards justice and welcome, as we resist theological blindness, how might privileging difference, asking questions of compassionate curiosity, and listening careful to the lives and experiences of those who differ from the dominant norm help us? How might they open up new spaces of welcome and new levels of understanding? We still have much to learn from one another within our community here at Calvary and beyond. As a pastor and particularly a preacher, I find that I often live out the sermon that I'm writing in the days prior to putting it on paper. As I sat with the text this week and gave my attention to the questions being asked, thanks to the help of artist and writer Jan Richardson, I got really excited. Righteous, even, wanting to shout right on. Our questions do matter. They make a huge difference in our understanding and what we see. Preach that. And then came the more difficult turn. Where do I ask questions like the one asked in today's text? When do I ask questions of suspicious scrutiny and interrogation? And more difficult still, what kind of questions do I pose to myself? If we actually pause and listen to the questions that we ask ourselves, to our internal dialogue, they often sound a lot like interrogation. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? Why did you think that looked good on you? And on we go. At least part of our Lenten journeys is learning to ask better questions of ourselves, too. Kind and compassionate questions that offer us room for healing and wholeness. What am I feeling? When have I felt this way before? What do I need to do to feel as safe as I can in the face of my fears? How might my fears be transformed? The gospel lesson this morning actually continues for 16 more verses, not including the explanation of the story in the next chapter. The man who was blind but now sees is interrogated a while longer by the Pharisees, and at the end of the chapter, he encounters Jesus again. Jesus asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He responds, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Finally, we arrive at some questions with possibility, questions that invite our seeing, questions that foster our ongoing transformation. We need these deeper questions in our lives about life and death, meaning, purpose, and value. Questions that express a genuine curiosity and willingness to explore. For a really long time now, I've loved the Rilke quote about living the questions. As I came back to it this week, I found new resonance. Be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms and like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue. Do not seek the answers which cannot be given you because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. As we go forth to live the questions this week, let us be patient. Be patient with ourselves and with others. May we keep listening even if it sounds like a foreign tongue to us, even if the experiences of others are so different from our own that they sound like another language that we cannot understand. May our questions be filled with compassion and curiosity. May our questions be core to our resistance and to our theological imaginations. Amen.